In Titus 2, for it to be obeyed, older women and younger women need to be together. And this is one of the reasons I'm so against contemporary and traditional services at churches based on selfish preferences in the body concerning music, because it splits up the younger and the older.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, your message today shares what younger women in the church are to be.
You know, Dave, today's message is really a continuation of how we are to live the Christian life. And we've looked at how older men and older women are to live. And now the Apostle Paul is going to help us understand how younger women are to be. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn to Titus. And we're in chapter 2, looking at verse 4.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, in the beginning, in Genesis, the Lord God created the heavens and the earth, and He said it was good. And then He created the crown of His creation, man and woman in His own image, and He said it was very good. But yet we know from Genesis chapter 3 that mankind fell, that Eve was deceived, and she ate, but Adam rebelled, and he disobeyed the Lord God too. And they were told in the day that they ate, which would represent their disobedience to what God told them not to do, they would surely die. And we know that they didn't fall over right away and die physically, but they died spiritually first and foremost, and they eventually died physically. But we see the evidence of that death in their lives as they hid from God. They were ashamed, and they blamed God for their sin. Now, in Genesis, we see from that point on in Scripture, and we know from our own lives, that our lives are marred by sin. That we as man and women are not who we were created to be. And we see that in the context of relationships, in the marriage relationship, in other relationships, in the family relationship. Because of our sin, we are not what God intended us to be. But God in His grace prophesied in Eve's situation back in Genesis 3 that He would bring about the cure, that He would crush the head of the serpent. He would crush Satan, as we see in the New Testament, the one who has the power over death, ultimately the Lord making him impotent because the Lord took care of His tool, which was sin. And we see ultimately that God brought about a plan to redeem His creation, to redeem mankind, to be who He called them to be. Now in Genesis chapter 3, we see the results as God declares what would happen to Adam and Eve. And I'll read this for you. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. We'll go back there. Actually, why don't you turn there with me to Genesis chapter 3. And this is after Adam and Eve are hiding, and it says in verse 9 of chapter 3, "Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked,'" already the smell of death, "'and I hid myself.' And he said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you not to eat?' And the man said, 'The woman,'" here he blames the woman and he's ultimately blaming God, "'the woman that thou givest to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate.'" There's death right there as he blames God ultimately for his own sins. And then he says here, then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise you on the head," that's a fatal blow, "and you shall bruise him on the heel," speaking ultimately of Satan bringing about through wicked men as God ordained the crucifixion of Christ, but that death brought about our salvation in which Satan was defeated. And he says in verse 16, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth, or really in child raising. In pain, you shall bring forth your children. And it's going to be difficult because of your sin to bring forth children. And then we see, yet your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. We see the patterns of sin where the woman's desire is to take over the husband, but the husband will wickedly rule over the woman. And we see that things are not as they are supposed to be in the marriage relationship because of sin. But God in his grace made it clear in Genesis also that through her seed and then through Abraham's seed, speaking of Christ, all the nations would be blessed. And ultimately that the Lord God is redeeming things through his Son, Jesus Christ. And when you come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are born again, we are new creatures. And at that point, he renews our minds to the way we really should be. And today we're going to be looking in Scripture to what younger women are to be. So would you turn your Bibles with me to Titus chapter 2. And we've been going through the book of Titus. It's a wonderful book. It's a wonderful book in which Paul is writing to his true child in the faith. And in this writing, he shares the importance to set in order what remains to appoint elders in every city. And we saw the qualifications for elders, godly men who hold fast the word of God and silence and refute those who contradict. We saw that there are many rebellious men, there are many contradictors, that elders are to protect God's valuable flock. And then we move to chapter 2, in which we are seeing ultimately what we are to be in Christ. And as I've shared each week, as we've taught in chapter 2, we need to see this chapter as a whole, and I'm going to just review the whole chapter so that we don't miss out. Because you cannot be who God wants you to be apart from the grace of God working through the Word of God in your life. In verse 1, we saw that sound doctrine or sound teaching from the Word of God is the foundation for how we are to live. And then in verses 2 through 10, we have commands on what older men, older women, younger men, bond slaves, what they are to be in Christ. And then in verses 11 through 14, we have how we can be this way. It's because the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. You can't be this way unless you're saved. And that same grace is instructing us to deny ungodliness and to live righteously and upright in this present age. So as we look at verses 4 and 5 today, do not forget they're connected in this chapter. And the way that you can do this is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, again, now as I've shared every week for the different groups, ultimately in this chapter we see God has commands for different ages and stages and genders. Yes, we are all the same in Christ. Salvation is irrespective of our race or gender, but ultimately there are different commands for male, female, for older and younger. And today we're going to be looking at young women, and some of you are saying, obviously, I am not a young woman, and some are saying I'm not even a woman. And we need to recognize that some of these commands to younger women today do apply to us in other areas. But ultimately, it will get to us. It's been to the older men already, older women, younger women. Next week, Lord willing, younger men, or actually the week after. And so eventually we will see commands directed towards everyone. With that in mind, let's turn in our Bibles to Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read actually 1 through 5, and we'll be looking specifically at verses 4 and 5. But as for you, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible, sound in faith, in love, and perseverance. There's for older men. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. So first of all, he's speaking of younger women. Well, how old are younger women? Well, certainly we saw that older women are 60-ish and above in Scripture. We saw that in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. And most likely, as we see in context, younger women are those of childbearing and child-raising years. Certainly, you can have children that are born to a certain age, and then you can still be with those children, raising them up to a certain age. And I would say, generally speaking, you are considered a younger woman if you're under 60. So this applies to younger women, and we're going to look at that. So if you are 59, you are a younger woman. So we see ultimately here that it is speaking to younger women. He says that they may encourage, verse 4, the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home. Now, before we start, some of you might be saying, well, what about those younger women who do not have husbands? What about those younger women who do not have children? Does it not apply to them? Well, in God's Word, generally speaking, and we're not going to get into this, it is His plan for women, generally speaking, to get married. And I'm not going to go into every passage of Scripture which speaks of marriage, but we see it in Genesis, we see it throughout the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament. Even younger widows are encouraged to remarry in 1 Timothy 5 so that they would not be tempted. God's basic plan for women is to be married. But before you run out and use that as an excuse to get into a relationship, I want to give you some cautions here. There are some exceptions. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul gives an argument for not trying to change the state that you are in when you are saved. If you are saved and you're not married, don't go out and try to change that state. If you are married when you're saved, don't change that. And there are some qualifications for that. But ultimately, he says later on that for those who had unbelieving spouses had left, if you marry, you have not sinned. I think the general principle is that what women should do is seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And if God wants to bring you a husband, He will do so. Now, generally speaking, this is speaking to ladies, younger women who are married. And if you're not married and you're a younger woman, there's a high probability that the Lord might have you married at some time in the future. But that's not to be focused on. But if that's the case, then you need to listen up, because He wants you to be a godly younger woman. And even though it applies to wives with children, there are statements in here that apply to every younger woman. Now, some of you are saying, wait a second, this passage says they're to be loving their children. We don't have any kids. We can't have kids. For you, I exhort you to listen anyway. For God may have you adopt kids, or in a most blessed sense, He may be ordaining that your love and relationship to your family be totally upon your husband as a blessing. So I want to encourage you to listen anyway. This is what younger women are to be. Okay, so what are they to be? First of all, I believe we're going to see a prerequisite here in verse 4, that younger women need to be in a position to be humbly taught what is good by older women, so that they will rightly think and so as to be who God has called them to be. Again, verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Remember, we saw older women were to exhibit Christ-like behavior, right? In their demeanor and speech and desires. And we looked specifically last week that older women are to be teaching what is good. That's what we saw last week, that older women are to be teaching what is good. And if you'll remember last week, we saw that the word used for good was kalos. It spoke of that which is intrinsically good, but manifests externally, beautifully. Older women are to be teaching what is good. That is intrinsically good, sound doctrine, ultimately, that manifests something beautiful. Now, obviously, as I shared last week, older women can't teach younger women if they're not around younger women, and younger women can't be taught if they're not around older women. And the entire passage that we will look at today is based on one element of obedience in the body of Christ, that we are together, that we are not forsaking our assembling together. You see, we were saved to serve God together, not as lone rangers in selfishness. Proverbs says, he who separates himself seeks his own desire. We were saved to serve God together, and it is only when our selfishness rears its ugly head that we separate from the body of Christ. In the early church, the church was together all the time. Acts 2:42. And they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's the word of God, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. We have the familiar command in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast our confession of faith. These Hebrews were being tempted to go back to Judaism. And the ones that were truly saved, he is exhorting them to hold fast. And the ones that weren't, they were being warned. Let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as it is the habit of some. As it is the habit of some. And we know in 1 Peter chapter 4 that we have to be around one another to serve one another. 1 Peter chapter 4. As each one has received a special gift, verse 10, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. How can I serve you if I am not with you? How can you serve me if we are not together? These commands in this chapter depend upon our obedience as we come together as a body. In Titus 2, for it to be obeyed, older women and younger women need to be together, right? And this is one of the reasons I'm so against contemporary and traditional services at churches based on selfish preferences in the body concerning music, because it splits up the younger and the older. Now, last week I encouraged the older women to take seriously their responsibility to be teachers of good with the younger women. And this week I encourage the younger women to be in a place to be taught from the older women. I want to ask you, younger women, are you willing to obediently humble yourself? You know, humility is actually tied with obedience. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient. Are you willing to obediently place yourself in a position where you can listen to what an older woman has to say concerning what we will see today? You know, most of the time we're not around people is because we don't want to hear what they want to say, and we get offended or we get upset. And you need to humble yourself to be in a position around older, godly women who will come alongside you and say, honey, the way you treated your husband there was wrong. Who will come alongside and say, I've got some encouragement from the Word of God concerning how you can help your kids. Are you willing to be in a position humbly to hear what older women have to say? This passage speaks of older women teaching what is good, as we'll see. Now remember, we see the younger women are to be taught by the older women, but why? Let's take a look again here, verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good. Now here's why. That they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, one, to love their children, two, to be sensible, three, pure, four, workers at home, five, kind, six, being subject to their own husbands, seven things. Older women are to be teachers of that which is intrinsically good, which will manifest itself beautifully in context sound doctrine. They're to teach what is good in order that, and our passage says, that they may encourage. And we looked at this last week. The term, that they may encourage, is a difficult translation. The New King James says, admonish. The NIV says, train, I think. And so it's kind of a combination of thoughts. But we looked at this verse specifically. It is sophronizo, that they may encourage. Sophronizo, the younger women. Well, what did that mean? Remember last week we saw in detail that the term, Greek term sophronizo, means to cause someone to be of sound mind and thus have self-control. It's closely related to the term sophron used in 1:8, 2:2, and later we'll see in 2:5. It speaks of being in one's right mind. We looked at that the last few weeks. You can get the tape and go back on that. It means to be sensible. So what am I saying in review here? Older women are to be teaching what is good, that, or in order that, for the purpose of goal, that they may sophronizo, or cause, younger women to think rightly, and thus be these seven things. Does that make sense? Older women to teach what is good, in order that younger women would think rightly, and they would be these things. We have a lot of younger women who are not thinking rightly. And God is gracious. He set up how He wants younger women to be trained to become more like His Son. Younger women, you must put yourself in a position to be changed by the Word of God, humbly willing to listen to the advice of older women. And older women, don't just give advice from your own experience. Give what is good. What is good is the Word of God. Okay, so we see an incredibly important task ordained and mandated from God for what older women are to be, teachers of good. We see ultimately the reason why they are to do this. So with this in mind, what is it that younger women are to be? What are these seven things? What do they mean? I believe we're going to see a couple categories which we'll look at in a minute. But again, we see verse 4, that they may encourage the young women or cause them to think rightly, the young women, so that they would love their husbands, love their children, be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Now, before we get into the passage, I need to share some portions concerning the grammar here. The main verb in the sentence is sophronizo, basically. But there's another verb in here that you can't see in our English translations. It's emi in Greek. It means literally to be. It literally says in the Greek that they may cause them to think rightly, to be, and then six adjectives and one participle. What does it mean? Ultimately, this is what you are present tense to be, what you are to be continually, habitually. Literally, you are to be husband lovers, children lovers, sensible, pure, home workers, kind, subject to their own husbands. This is what God says you are to be. You have not been left in the dark concerning God's will for you. So many people say, what is God's will for my life? And they walk in continual disobedience to what is revealed concerning what He wants them to be. Forget the other will that you're looking at and do the things you know He wants you to be. And He always works out those other things. Okay, so actually I think we're going to see here that there are three areas, basic areas, that God wants younger women to be. We're going to see behavior in relationship to their families. We're going to see behavior in relationship to their walk. And we're going to see behavior in relationship to the domain in which they are called. So let's take a look. Today, I think we're just going to get to the first one, behavior in relation to their families. That they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice in relationship to their families, there are two areas that they are to be. First, it says, literally, husband lovers. This is the first thing. Older women are to be teaching what is good, that younger women would be encouraged and think rightly.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, what about the woman listening today who's not married, perhaps never married, or widowed, or perhaps divorced? What do they do?
You know, Dave, first of all, indeed what we've seen today in the scripture is it's for those who are married. It's not speaking to all young women. It's speaking to those who are to be husband lovers, and that's clear. For those who are younger women and are not married, there is application here also. They need to turn their affections towards God. They need to be wholly devoted to Him. They need to allow Him to direct their paths, especially as it pertains to finding a husband. You see, if younger women are focused totally on Christ and obeying Him, He's going to bring about what's best in their life, whether that's a mate or whether it's serving Him, whatever it might be. So younger women, focus on Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.